Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Sydney Gaw, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Indivisible Evanston and their part in the No Kings protest. Locals react to Paul Thomas Anderson's latest film, how thrift stores are cashing in on the season, and this week's B-List. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. The October 18th No Kings rally in Evanston saw thousands of participants. The sponsor of the event, Indivisible Evanston, is part of a national alliance of grassroots organizations looking to help people to take action against attacks on democracy. Sophia Kesa paid the local chapter a visit.
Craft supplies are scattered around an Evanston home. There's stencils, duct tape, markers, paint, and even some paper crowns. A dozen or so people are on the ground, hard at work.
This is then going to say Democrats either support or for Social Security employees.
But this is not a standard arts and crafts project. The group on the floor is Indivisible Evanston, and they're making signs for last Saturday's No Kings rally.
Indivisible Evanston started after the first Trump administration began because of the fear that Trump would do what he has done, which is try to destroy our democracy. So I would say we are a pro-democracy, Save America movement.
Candace Davis, the host of the sign-making event, is one of five members of the Indivisible Evanston leadership team. A retired attorney, she began getting involved 5 years ago and hasn't looked back since. For Davis and others, Indivisible Evanston and its national chapters provide a chance to get involved and make an impact in a time where they feel things are more dire than ever. Husband and wife duo Ezra Levin and Leah Greenberg founded the Indivisible Movement in 2016. The two former congressional interns helped author a 23-page handbook titled Indivisible, A Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda, after Trump's election in 2016. This handbook is the foundation of this grassroots movement that has captured the attention of millions of people. Here's one of them, 9-year Indivisible Evanston member Steven Seidel.
We got more and more active and more involved in spreading the message. And Indivisible has chapters in every congressional district in the country. There are hundreds and thousands of us doing this, and we're all volunteer.
Group members have sent postcards and made phone calls to encourage progressive turnout in elections across the country. Here's one of the postcarders, member Jean Rumsfield, who sent postcards to voters during the 2020 runoff elections in Georgia.
We've done postcards from many places all over the country. It depends on what the most difficult elections that are going on in the country are. Yeah, it makes you feel like you're at least trying to contribute to democracy.
The group also helps coordinate and organize canvassing efforts and rallies and provides information on what to do if you spot an ICE agent, which hotlines to call, and where to look for local immigration groups. Indivisible Evanston also offers what they call armchair actions, or lower commitment advocacy like calling legislators, phone banking, and postcarding. This way, taking action is accessible for everyone who wants to be involved. Davis says interest in the organization has grown since last November.
And this administration has just made it clear that no one's going to fix it for us, right? So we've gotten more and more people signing up for the newsletter, signing up for the Facebook page, coming out for the rallies.
As of now, Indivisible Evanston's email newsletter subscriber list sits at just over 3,000, and the group saw thousands of people at the No Kings rallies it sponsored in June and October. Seidel says the rallies owe part of their success to city resources.
The mayor, the police department, streets and sanitation, they block streets off for us, they protect us, and I can't say enough about them. They're just incredible.
Jean Rumsfield only recently got involved with the Indivisible Evanston rallies. Given the crises around the world, she says there has never been a more critical time to get outside and get involved.
It's easy to stay at home and watch the news and listen to media and get upset over it and feel hopeless and helpless. And working with Indivisible Evanston makes me feel like I'm trying to do something and trying to make a difference, even if it's small.
And for Candace Davis, who has opened up her home and her life to this organization for the past 5 years, it's about making the world a better place, one sign, one call, one rally at a time.
And it's really all about the fact that we have to do something. I have grandkids who are going to inherit this world, and there's so much wrong, and it's getting worse instead of better, and we just have to take action.
For WNUR News, I'm Sophia Kesa.
Sydney Feener and Isla Mushtaq take a closer look at reactions to Paul Thomas Anderson's new film, One Battle After Another, comparing reviews from critics and wildcats alike.
Film aficionados around the world are abuzz about director Paul Thomas Anderson's ambitious new film, One Battle After Another. Action, comedy, drama, sex, and politics all combine in this bombastic picture that's drawn critical acclaim and popular attention, but not necessarily box office success.
Critics have been nearly unanimous in their praise. The film holds a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with reviewers calling it Anderson's most ambitious work to date. New York Times critics praised the movie, describing it as both shockingly urgent and sort-out funny. Variety describes it as galvanic and enveloping. However, some critics have flagged its demanding runtime and complex narrative structure as potential barriers for mainstream audiences. Despite the acclaim, the movie has underperformed, earning just $22 million in its opening weekend against a reported $200 million budget.
Is the movie as great as people are saying? We tracked down some Northwestern students to get their takes before and after seeing it in the theater.
I've heard that this is potentially one of the best movies of the 21st century and that it's supposed to be fantastic. I know it has Leo DiCaprio in it, Sean Penn, I think Benicio del Toro. It's pretty long, and sometimes, you know, long movies with, like, A-list actors are, like, some of the big hitters. I have really high expectations for it. I don't know much about the movie itself, but it looks like it's going to be a stunner.
I have seen this movie, actually, but when I saw it, I was pretty high off of marijuana. And so it was great. I really enjoyed myself, and I was definitely present, and I remember things about the movie, and I remember the general plot and everything like that. But I feel like I wasn't clear enough of mind to really gather what my true impression of it is. So I want to go into it now sober and see if I come to the same conclusion, see if I notice things that weren't there before. But what I was hearing beforehand is that people were loving it. The reviews are really good. The ratings are really high. And some people have even gone so far as to say it's the best movie of the 21st century, which that feels kind of crazy to me. But I mean, for some people, I'm sure that's true.
After the movie, I checked in with Eli and Emma to hear their thoughts.
I just saw One Battle After Another. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. A really successful marriage of spectacular acting, specific and striking cinematography, amazing score and sound design, and really captivating plot. I probably wouldn't say it's the greatest film of the 21st century, although I haven't seen enough to really, like, give a professional opinion on that, I guess. But, so I don't know if I'd say it was the best of the century, but I thought it was really, really good. I would absolutely recommend it to other people if you have the attention span for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I thought it kept mine pretty well. I think it was really successful in that. But if you don't have that attention span, you might not. But overall, I thought it was a really great movie.
This time, with a sober body and a clear mind, I loved it once again. It moves at a clip. For a 2-hour and 45-minute movie, I never was bored. The performances are incredible. Leonardo DiCaprio is hilarious. He's frantic. He's high all the time. Sean Penn, I mean, he just has one of those faces that is just interesting to watch.
And his little mannerisms in this, he is such a freak.
And this is the first Paul Thomas Anderson movie I've seen, like I said. I thought it was great. I'll have to watch more.
Among those who have the brain power to get through it, one battle after another has won the battle for critical praise. But will it win the war for a cinematic legacy? Only time will tell.
The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
As fall nears, Evanston thrift stores are cashing in on the season's surge in festive shoppers and new trends. Neha Yadavali has the story.
With October coming to an end in a few short weeks, the Halloween spirit has come alive in Evanston. Pumpkins and seasonal decorations are out, the local Target is stocking up on bags of candy, and if you walk down any thrift store aisle, you might see people hunting for costumes. But behind the nostalgia and excitement, there's economics at play. Thrift stores like Heyday Vintage Collective respond to the demand of seasonal wear by getting in this Halloween spirit.
For sure. And then we also like to bring in more like festive wear. So there's a lot of like Halloween or like fall related clothing. So maybe that might be like cool little pumpkin graphics and such, or like Snoopy with a pumpkin as well.
That's Justin Chan, co-owner of Heyday Vintage Collective. But he says as fall hits, there is also a shift in style.
So generally throughout the changes of the new seasons coming, we notice that people are, you know, obviously dressing a lot warmer. So we try to bring out a lot more of outerwear. So like jackets, like flannels, button-ups, more pants, less shorts. We always have t-shirts out because people always like to wear them under, but a lot more of a bigger push for outerwear for sure.
And then all helping Heyday tap into the energy of Halloween, and that festive mood pays off. True.
But when it's on a really good day where it's sunny outside but there's still a nice like fall weather, a good amount of people come through, which is great. And
so whether it's to celebrate the season or to hunt for that perfect Halloween look, take a stop inside your local thrift store. You might just fall in love. For WNUR's Oddities, I'm Neha Yadavali.
Recap: Netflix nuptials, indie pop excitement, a futuristic box office flop, and the return of hoops in this week's B-list. Vidyuth Sridhar has more.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, a heartwarming epilogue to Love is Blind, a tour hits video, Disney depression, and the return of basketball. In celebrity news, Lauren and Cameron Hamilton, alums of the hit show Love is Blind, celebrated the arrival of their first baby. Lauren Hamilton took to Instagram today to share the news, thanking God after previously describing their fertility journey as difficult. The pair tied the knot during season 1 of Love is Blind and named their baby Ezra. Missed the Gracie Abrams tour? Don't worry, because beginning October 29th, a performance of her Secret of Us Deluxe tour will be broadcasted on Apple Music. The performance, which occurred at the famed Red Rocks Amphitheater in August, is expected to feature hit songs such as That's So True, as well as tracks from previous records. One thing the masses aren't scrambling to see is Tron: Ares, Disney's recent blockbuster release, which Deadline magazine projects will lose the company over $132 million. Despite generating hype pre-release as the follow-up to Tron Legacy, middling reviews and a lack of overseas interest appear to have sunk the film's bottom line. Lastly, in the world of sports, the National Basketball Association tips off a new season on Wednesday. The reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder will face the Houston Rockets, followed by the Golden State Warriors battling the LA Lakers. Although Lakers forward LeBron James will reportedly miss the opener due to battling sciatica, the presence of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Durant, and Stephen Curry promises a star-studded showing. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Vidit Sridhar.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. On Tuesday, we're looking at a low of 45 degrees Fahrenheit and a high of 54. On Wednesday, winds are picking up with a low of 43 and a high of 51. Thursday, the sun will be out with a low of 40 and a high of 52. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Local restaurant Bob's Pizza is set to close at the end of the month, staff confirms. Evanston Mayor Daniel Biss and congressional candidate and progressive content creator Kat Abu-Ghazaleh neck and neck in multi-million-dollar Democratic primary. And Zimbabwe has begun efforts to override the second five-year term of their current president to 7 years. This would keep 83-year-old President Emmerson Mnangagwa in office until 2030. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Gabe Shumway, and our reporters are Sophia Kesa, Sydney Feener, Ayla Mushtaq, Neha Yadavali, and Vidyuth Sridhar. I'm Sydney Gaw. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, October 22nd. Now, back to scheduled programming.